one.
Hello, everybody.
That's how we roll. We're so thankful that you are joining us today, whether you're watching in the house, around the world, throughout the week, listening. It's an honor. It's a privilege. And I know I said it earlier, and maybe you're just tuning in. It is only by God's grace that we are here, and he is taking care of this. And we have incredible people who are gifted to make everything sound, look, and be beautiful. Even me. So I'm so thankful that you are here today as we wrap up our series called Best Summer Ever. And what we've been walking through in this series is we've been talking about and walking through living life to the fullest. Now we've been in Psalm 23, we've been in Philippians 2, we hung out in John 4 last week, and we're going to continue in John 4 this week with a story that we started last week as we learned through ripe for harvest, ripe for harvest. So last week we had some fun, right? We had some Reese peanut butter candy, right? We talked about how we no longer have to deal with the ghost of our past in Christ. When we're bat crap crazy in Christ, we can let that go. Or times we've lost our head like the pumpkin and the headless horseman, or where we've just been stuck in our head. So today, if you got to hang out with us, and if not, you can't see this because you could really zoom in to see this. You don't want to zoom in. But we got harvest candy over there, like candy corn, cream pumpkins, all that good stuff. Harvest, because it's almost time for the harvest wherever you are. It is the harvest season is upon us. Now, here in the South where we are, we're kind of in the false fall. We're kind of what we call the doorstep of summer Hades. That's about to come. We're going to see 100-degree temperatures somewhere around the end of September. It always happens. And then we'll finally crest into fall somewhere about Halloween. But we are in the midst of the harvest season, and we're talking through ripe for the harvest. So that's why we got candy. We're going to come back to it. Everyone got one of these coming in. If you didn't, there's plenty more. That's going to have some and make some sense here, and we got some other cool things that are going to happen. But we're going to continue this story, and just a reminder, wherever you are, as we talk about ripe for harvest. Last week, where we were, Jesus was waiting at the well. He meets this Samaritan woman. She's been married, 5 times. She's living with someone she shouldn't be, and she encounters Jesus, and she goes to the well, and Jesus says, "If you know who I am, then you will have living water," and that is where she is. He's just left off saying that he is the Messiah she is searching for. He is the Messiah she's searching for. So wherever you are and whatever you're walking through, that's where we are in this story. And so if you've got your Bible today, we're going to pick up in verse 27 in John chapter 4, verse 27. If you don't have a Bible, we have them free for the asking here. Also, if you're watching, our Vine production team is going to make sure it's on the screen wherever you're watching, but you can follow along with us as well at thevine.tv/app. Download that today. You got sermon notes in there, a prayer wall where you can put your prayer request, find out everything about the Vine Church, and see. What if I had outtakes? That would be great. That would be every day, but that would be funny if those were on. Maybe we can have some fun on that, but really, we just want to connect with you through our app and let you be able to just grow deeper roots in the Lord. So John chapter 4, we're going to go take a little bit in blocks as we go through this, verse 27 through 30. So as you're getting there, just a reminder, you hear me say C.S. Lewis a lot. I talk about C.S. Lewis a lot. The perspective I want us to have today is, I'm paraphrasing here, so hang in here with me. C.S. Lewis says it this way: we've never met a mere mortal. Everyone we meet is an eternal soul. Every person you come in contact with is an eternal being. They are a soul with a body, not a body with a soul. And every set of eyes you lock eyes with today, everyone you lock eyes with today will either spend eternity in heaven because they believe in their heart that Jesus was risen again on the third day and that he is who he says he is and they've confessed him as Lord of his life, or they're going to spend eternity in an eternal nightmare that is hell that will never end. There is no in between. That's it. And in the quietness and heaviness of that, the thing is, we are tasked to share Christ with the world. We can't save anybody. We can't make them make the decision to be saved, but we can be him in all that we do. And that's why we have to be reminded we've never met a mere mortal. So that's a perspective we have. Verse 27, here we go. If you're with me, say amen. 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 I hear some amens. Let's go. All right. Verse 27, just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, "What do you want?" Or why are you talking with her? Remember last week, the disciples went off while Jesus was waiting at the well. They went to McDonald's. They found out the ice cream machine conveniently wasn't working again. So they come back to Jesus, and they're about to have an interaction with him. And we're about to see that the interaction they have with him is really more about them, not about him. They're actually hungry because the ice cream machine was broken. You know what I'm saying? So they're looking for that 5 loaves and 2 fish, Jesus. Like, they're hungry. And so they come up to Jesus, and they're like, who's he talking to? What's going on? Verse 28, then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to town and said to the people, come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? They came out of the town and made their way toward him. Now, just a reminder, last week, this woman, in the noon of the day, comes with her water jar. Jesus is sitting, waiting at the well, and ask her, hey, can I get a little something to drink? And she says, well, how can you get something to drink? You have nothing to draw water with. He tells her about the living water. So this woman, in her shame and guilt and her life trying to save herself, has just reconciled herself to say, this is as good as it's ever going to get. It's never going to get any better. I'm going to have to go to the heathen today. I've got to avoid people, avoid everyone, and this is just how it's going to be. So I'm going to go get some water at this well. And all of a sudden, she encounters Jesus. And Jesus says, hey, I am the Messiah that you are looking for. And she goes, and when she encounters him, and when she meets him, she leaves her water jar, the thing that she was trying to satisfy herself with in this world, and goes into the town, and she goes to the people. She hasn't figured it all out yet. We're about to see the disciples haven't either, but she knows this could be the Messiah. He knows everything about her, and he says that he is, but she doesn't force the town to believe that he is. She asks the question, could it be him? Would you consider Jesus? That's all she says. Could this be the Messiah? So wherever you are and you're kicking the tires of figuring out who Jesus is, kicking the tires of Christianity, maybe you aren't fully surrendered to him because he hasn't answered all your questions yet. He hadn't told you why the relationship ended. He hasn't told you why the loved one died. He hasn't told you why you lost the job. He hasn't told you why this happened. He hasn't answered that question. And until God answers that question, you are drawing a line in the sand saying, I can't trust him fully because he won't answer my question. But see, it's just a little faith. This woman still had questions she needed answered. The disciples had questions they needed answered. So would you stop drawing your line into the sand to say that you have to consider the full answer first before you ever get the answer to your questions? If you're drawing your line in the sand, you're carrying your water jar around, and you got those ghosts and those demons, you got this shame and guilt you're carrying around with you, and I promise you, it's going to weigh you down more than anything in this world. It's going to weigh you down. Because no matter how you try to hide it, no matter how you try to carry it, it's going to burden you. But Jesus says and shows there is a better way. And that's what this woman does. She says, could there be a better way that is the Messiah? Consider Jesus. Verse 31, if you've ever had a grandparent, this is your verse. If you are a grandparent, you know this. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, Rabbi, eat something. You got a grandma or grandpa, you know. Get you a little something to eat. Go on in the cabinet and get you a little something. Ain't some little Debbie's in there. You know, don't lie. That's it. That's why we have breakfast the way we do here. Now, let's be real. You know why the disciples were asking that. We just established it. The ice cream machine was conveniently broke at McDonald's again, y'all. They were hungry. They were looking for 5 loaves and 2. They weren't worried what Jesus was eating. Let's be real. They was hungry. They like, we done traveled to town and ain't got nothing to eat. Now, this guy just fed 5,000 and 4,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Surely he's got a little something for me. So they go to Jesus and say, you eat something. Now, don't lie. When you go out there, that's why I said if you got a grandparent, be for real. Sometimes when you're a grandparent, you get out the snacks because you want one and you know you got to share it with the kids. Don't lie. That's what you do. You know you got to share it. That's why you do. It's kind of like, do you want to see that movie? And it's because you want to see the movie. Don't lie. Your kids don't care about that movie. You want to go see it. It is what it is. That's where the disciples are when it talks about hunger. They say, Jesus, will you eat something? But look at Jesus' response in 32 and 33. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. And look, the disciples don't have it figured out just like fully like the woman did. They still had questions that needed to be answered. Verse 33, then his disciples said to each other, could someone have brought him food? Did he find the McDonald's with the ice cream machine working? Did he get that McFlurry? Like, did he get that? Did he have something? Did somebody bring him something to eat? They miss what Jesus says. I want to read verse 32 again. He said to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. Jesus says he has a satisfaction that nothing in this world can fill. I have food to eat. He's going to explain that fully. We're going to walk through that. In other words, he is saying, hey, my satisfaction is in God, and there's nothing in this world that can meet or satisfy that. We shared what Piper said last week. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. In other words, when Christ is our treasure, nothing else matters. Everything else will work out and fall into place because he is the treasure that we seek. He is the only thing that can satisfy. Remember the living water he told the woman about. This is what Jesus is now using as a teachable moment to the disciples, and this is what he's using for us as well. Nothing in this world can satisfy. We're going to start Peaks and Valleys next week talking about how Jesus is in with us through all seasons, but honestly, here's a question I have. Are you satisfied? It's a question I have to often ask myself. Are you satisfied? Are you really satisfied? The disciples weren't satisfied. They was hungry. And the disciples said, physically, I need something that only this world can offer. Jesus, you should take it too. And Jesus says, but I'm here for something more. You see, maybe you're not satisfied right now because you haven't fully considered Jesus. You're arguing with him because he hasn't answered your questions instead of surrendering to him and realizing that he will reveal it in his time. Are you satisfied? See, the world's looking for satisfaction. They aren't singing the Rolling Stones. They aren't getting there saying they can't get no satisfaction. Everything they get, they realize this world cannot satisfy. As we talked about, like, they have an ever-increasing craving for an ever-diminishing pleasure. The things of this world will end. The house will fall apart. The car will break down. The expensive college receipt will be worthless in a few years. I hate to tell you. It is. Real life experience helps you more. Even though the certification is great, sometimes you just got to get in the elbow grease of things. It's not going to matter. The kids are going to grow up in spite of your best effort. It's going to be long days and short years. Trust me. I don't have kids, but I see it. I see it in our parents. Like, all of a sudden, I see, like, all of our Vine kids, and I'm like, good God, like, I'm looking up at them. They're taller than me now. What in the world? Like, I'm a short dude. But seriously, like, the kids will grow up, the things will happen, and if you are satisfied in the things of this world, the well will eventually run dry. If you're not satisfied right now, I would move to say, if Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you're trying to satisfy yourself with something in this world, and we call that an idol. You've put your treasure in that over him, and honestly, all of us do it. All of us do it. All of us do. Because it's our human condition. We only look at what we think can fill us just for this moment. And Jesus says, what I have will last for eternity. And so that's what we show the world. In the middle of a pandemic, I can have peace. Because I have Christ. And it'll satisfy. And even though the world falls down around me, what is it? As David talks about it, 10,000 fall around me. He is still the one. God is still the one that's faithful. What we can show the world is when the job is lost, God is still faithful. When the promotion's gone, God is still faithful. He is the only thing that can satisfy. That's why when you have someone going through this, you can say, hey, I don't know how to fully help you, but I can give you the answer. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. I can't tell you how he's fully going to work it out, but I can tell you that he is. It's Jesus. And so for all of us, maybe that's where we are. Is our satisfaction in lunch? In a minute, it will be. Let's be real. That's where the disciples were. Satisfaction was in lunch. And he says, I'm here to do so much more. And church, as we go forward, this is, I'm telling you, I'm going to talk about it here in a minute, but I get so, my heart breaks to see the church tear down the church. It's just, this is our moment. This is our moment to show where true satisfaction is. Not a vaccine, a mask, a political party, who you voted for, what the next election looks like, what the next scandal is, what the next laptop that's going to be found, what any of that crap is. None of that matters. The satisfaction is Jesus. It doesn't even matter if a bunch of 18 and 19-year-olds win a ball game this weekend or a bunch of overpaid 30-year-olds on a football field win or lose. That'll make more in a game than many of us will make in our entire year. Those things are fine. I'm not going to tell you to go burn those. We're not burning books here. Y'all know that's not how I roll. I'm saying is if our satisfaction's in that, we're missing out. And that's what Jesus is showing all and each and every one of us and everyone with the disciples as well. But the thing is, the disciples were with Jesus every day, and they didn't have their questions fully answered. And yet Jesus stayed with them. So today, would you consider him? Verse 34, let's see what this food is that Jesus has. My food, said Jesus, is macaroni and cheese, banana pudding, some green. Oh, he didn't say it. Never mind. My bad. It's a chili cheese aplenty. Oh, no, that ain't it. Oh, that ain't it either. Holy cannoli. Well, what is it he says his food is in verse 34? Is to do the will of him who sent me and to what? Finish his work. In other words, Jesus is saying, hey, I'm doing the will of the Father. Remember, he's in Gethsemane just a few chapters later in John 17. And he says, if this cup can pass over me, let it. But let it be your will, Father, be done, not mine. Here's what I'm trying to get at. This is who we're following. We're following him to do the will of the Father, to finish his work. To finish his work. Would we believe we are sent like this woman? I want you to think to your salvation story. If you were in Christ Jesus, I want you to think of the people that were in that story. I want you to think of maybe those that seemed by chance, that seemed like it was just just out of nowhere they showed up. And I want to tell you, it was a divine appointment that God had put it in place for a purpose. Do you know why? If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that you got that? Because somebody worked as being sent in your life on a mission. They were willing to point you to Jesus. They couldn't save you, but they were willing to point you towards Jesus. And so many times we can get stuck. A couple weeks ago, we talked about it. I'm going to paraphrase. I'm not going to take forever in talking about it, but we talked about the will of God versus the will of self. R.C. Sproul talks about the three wills of God. In a nutshell, here's what it is. Go watch that. We unpacked that a little bit better. That was awesome that we got to do that. But many of us, when it comes to the will of God or will of self, as Jesus is saying, doing the will of the Father, the will of God is in three ways. We have God's will of decree. It is his word. It will not return void. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was void and formless. His spirit hovered over the deep and over the depths of the water. And God spoke and said, let there be light. And there was light. And he separated the light from the darkness. God spoke and his word came out. It's not just in the Old Testament that happens. When Jesus comes in on Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry, and everyone's yelling, Hosanna, and the people are there, the religious people are mad and angry and says, how can you let them call you that? And he says, if even they weren't worshiping, the rocks would cry out worshiping because God's word will not return void. That is when he sends his word out, his will of decree. The other thing that is the Father's will is his will of desire. His desire is that all would be saved and come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Yet, we have free will in whether we do that or not. Even though it is God's desire. It's God's desire that we love our neighbor as ourselves. Yet we have a choice whether that happens or not. So God's will of decree will not be returned void. God's will of desire is often thwarted by us. And last but not least, God's will of direction, which we love to spend the most time on. And really quickly on that one, what that is we expect God to take our alphabet soup and spell out who we're supposed to marry. We treat God like an magic eight ball and say, should I take the job? Like we shake it up and see which way it's going to go. God's will of direction doesn't work that way. Some of us over-spiritualize it, and we don't move until we hear a clear answer from God, and some of us under-spiritualize it and move God around like he's in the background, and we are the main focus of our story. And so as a Christian, we're in this middle. We have to understand that God's will of direction is this. He's not going to tell you who to marry. I'm sorry. I look at every one of you, and even though you may have biblical names, God did not tell you in the Bible this is who you're going to marry. He didn't. I'm sorry. He didn't do that. God didn't tell you what corporation to work for or what business to start. He's not going to do that. God didn't tell you what neighborhood to live in. He's not going to do that. But here's what God does say. If you are going to get married, you're going to love your spouse like Christ loved the church, and you're going to die to self and lift them up just as Christ has done for you. If you're going to work at this job, you're not going to work as you're working unto man. You can have the most terrible boss in the world, but if you'll work as if you're working unto God, then you will get the job done, and it will be done excellently. And wherever you live, he's not going to give you the zip code, but he will say you will love him with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself, wherever that is. In other words, seeking him, that is his direction in everything we do. But many of us are stuck because we won't get past that. So we do the will of the Father. Look what Jesus says. Verse 35. Don't you have a saying? It's still 4 months until the harvest. It's my favorite part. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Church, the field is ripe with harvest right now. Everyone's hope is in everything of a lockdown beginning, a lockdown ending, this happening, that happening, instead of Christ Jesus. The field is ripe for harvest. We just got to open our eyes. And if we live our life realizing that we are pilgrims on the way toward heaven, not settlers trying to build our own heaven, that's how we can show the world who Jesus is so much more clearly, and the fields ripe for the harvest. Can we believe that God is doing something outside of us supernaturally? Think about your salvation story, lining things up. Think about even today, us getting to have church today outside of us. We couldn't have thwarted what happened. It was only Christ that allows us to even be here. The only way we see it is if we open our eyes. So hang in here with me, and if I stumble, just laugh a lot. But you see, this is what a lot of us do. This is how we live life. We get one of these cool little bad boys. Now, I don't know if you can hear me. I kind of moved the microphone. Sorry. But if you have one of these things, I have no clue how to make this thing work. So it is what it is. There's no telling what's happening. But where you are right now is we've lived our life in an alternate and augmented reality that we've created for ourselves. We followed our own creation. And we've decided to entertain ourselves to death so much that our eyes are only open to what we have created instead of what he has created. Jesus tells the disciples in this moment, step out of this augmented reality. This reality that you have that is about feeding yourself. It's about so much more. That's why when Peter is restored, Jesus says, feed my lambs. It's about so much more. Do the will of the Father. Now, I'm not against games. Hey, trust me, don't go burn your games. I'm not telling you you can't do this. But this is where we get stuck. We can't open our eyes because we've entertained ourselves to death. We haven't even considered to open our eyes to understand that Jesus is moving. I promise you, that 10 seconds between that Netflix binge you got, you can't consider if God's moving. You can't open your eyes in between that. And that's where the world is. It's become entertained to death. So when's the last time you stopped and opened your eyes and saw God moving? Really saw him moving. For me, I can tell you, I get down and out in life. I can't believe I didn't fall. Praise Jesus. I get down and out in life at times, and the thing that lifts me up more than ever is seeing a sunrise. Hearing those birds chirping, yelling at the squirrels in my neighbor's bird feeder, those kind of things. I enjoy that. Reminds me of God's faithfulness. Reminds me of God moving. Church, will we open our eyes and see the eternities of those around us and see that it's ripe for harvest? It's ripe. It's so ripe. And while everyone else is ripping the bride of Christ down, we get to have the better conversation and show the better way. And that is him. Look what he says in verse 36 through 38 to finish this up. Even now, one who reaps draws a wage and harvests a crop for eternal life. So the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, one sows and another reaps is true. I sent you so that you reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work and you have reaped the benefits of their labor. In other words, Billy Graham always knocked this out of the park. I loved hearing him in a crusade do this. When folks would respond to the invitation, people would say, how in the world do you feel about that? And he said, here's the thing. Many others went before me laying the groundwork for that person to finally respond. And I just got to be a part of that response. But it took those going before me to plant the seed and the harvest before they responded. And church, that's what Jesus is saying. Sometimes we got to till the hard soil, do the hard work, and understand that most people, it takes 12 interactions with the gospel before they finally surrender. 12 interactions where they fully considered Christ before they finally surrender. 12. It takes 12. Now, where you are in the chain shouldn't matter. Are you going to be mad at God because you're number 7 in the chain? Are you going to understand that eventually when they get to 13, if they surrender their life, we're going to get to celebrate it with them in eternity? And then we're going to get to see there and give them a hard time about it because you know. That's what's going to happen. Man, I was number 7. You didn't get it with me. What the heck, man? Like, are we going to see that? Are we going to be mad about it? Are we going to be mad that this place sees more salvations than we do because there's no way that happened? Are we just going to trust that the local church is the hope of the world, the bride of Christ that Jesus works through, and know that the sower who is working hard and the reaper who gets to see the harvest will be glad together instead of saying, this is everything wrong with the church. This is why I have to decouple my faith. This is why I have to go this way. And I just want to say, if you've stepped out of the church because you've been hurt, burned, or broken by the church, I just want to say, would you get back in the church? I don't care where. It doesn't make a lick of difference to me. It doesn't matter. Get in the church. Never did Jesus say, leave the church because you've been hurt. Because I'm going to tell you, if you're looking for the perfect church, you won't find it here either. You won't find the perfect church around the world. You want to know why? Because I'm part of it. Every one of you could be perfect, but it's still going to be tainted because I'm part of it. And I'm just as sinful as anyone. And when we see that and we serve God unto God using where he's called us to, then we're going to be able to see this field that's ripe for the harvest. It's going to have some good stuff ripe for the harvest. Church, this is what it's all about, working together as one. Verse 39. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of this woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. Now just think about that. He told you everything you ever did. There are things I don't even remember I did yesterday. And Jesus said, 10 minutes ago, there are things that I don't even know what I was looking at 5 minutes ago. Seriously, like he knew everything you've ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them. And he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. Now, before we go on and we see their response, once we've encountered Jesus, we can't help but share him. And many of us, when we first become a Christian, man, we're on fire to do it. And then for some reason, we get settled in and we think that it doesn't matter. We think that it's just not a, like, I've got my insurance papers. But here's the thing. It's more than insurance he died for. He died so that people dead in sin could be brought to life in him. And so when we share him, we can't help but want to stay in his presence. If you follow Jesus' earthly ministry at all, as a side note, it was very rare that Jesus could stay in one place for multiple days. Jesus didn't move at a breakneck speed, which I'm so guilty of. He lived the life of the tortoise at a slow pace, but where he went, crowds would gather so much, it was likely he couldn't stay. He couldn't even sleep, guys. He couldn't even pray. Yet he stays here 2 days, and many become believers. Verse 42 says, they said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know this man is really the Savior of the world. Now remember how this started. She said, "This, come see this man who told me everything I have done. Could this be the Messiah?" To where it ends. They consider him fully, and they say, no longer is it because you say he's the Messiah. Now we have faith that he is who he says he is. And church, that's our mission. That's what we get to do. We get to bring others to him and let them make the choice. Let them make the choice. And that's what we're called to do. And I love that it's not just what she said. They're saying, you got us to a point, but now we've actually considered it ourselves, and they believe. Where am I going? Don't just believe in Jesus because grandma did. Her faith ain't going to get you into heaven. In the end, Jesus says, as he talks about separating out the sheep from the goats, he says that some didn't go to the prisons and take care of the orphans and widows, and they will cry out, Lord, Lord, when did we see you there? Lord, Lord, when did we not give? Lord, Lord, when did we not do this? And what separates the ones who get into heaven and those who don't is the ones who cry, Lord, Lord, and do the will of the Father. That's the evidence. And the will of the Father is that all would know who Jesus is and would consider him. So right now, maybe your faith is on something and someone else. Those Samaritans couldn't be saved because of the faith of that Samaritan woman. They can only be saved because they believe that Jesus is who he says he is. And so that's why here at the Vine, we believe we are God's plan for growing his church. Every interaction we have is a divine appointment. Everything we do is an opportunity for us to point others to Christ. We can't save them, but we can point them to him. And I will tell you, I'm guilty of it many times not doing it. So much so when I'm frustrated or angry because Jesus isn't working it out the way that I think he should. Like, I get really frustrated at that. But at the same time, this is an opportunity. So this is what I've got for us here at the end. I want to stop where I started. We've never met a mere mortal. Some folks, as we prayed, got this. I didn't get to get it on there, and I've only got one, and you're welcome to have. There's like a bajillion of them in a box over there. Not only do we have harvest snacks and an Oculus make an appearance, we also have Funnables Fruity Snacks Mixed Berry. That's got some strawberry, it's got a blueberry, and a raspberry, little fruity chewy in here, right? I call them chewies. I don't know what you call them. I call them chewies. I don't know why. I promise I don't treat your children like animals, and maybe I do shake the box like snacks. We have, anyway, whatever. Wherever you are, it's a fruity chewy. This is why it matters. I can taste a strawberry even if it's not in season. I can taste a blueberry even if it's not in season. I can even taste a raspberry even if it's not in season. And the reason you had this today is some of these things are about to be out of season, yet we in Christ are always in season. And we can share the fruit, really the fruit of the Spirit if we want to get there, but we can share the fruit because the harvest is ripe and it's time for us to understand this is the season. This is our season. This is the season. So as you eat these things or you share these things, there's plenty, share them with a friend. Understand that in Christ we're always in season. Because if we aren't, we're already at home with him. And so why we are here being sent, realize with the fruity snack that it's ripe for the harvest. And so what I would say is we got plenty of invite cards over there. Take them. Share them. There's plenty in the garden. Share this with a friend. Listen, who cares? You may be number one in the chain. It's got to start somewhere. And why not be us? What if we could just continue to be the people that Jesus works in and through? And even if we're number one in the link, and 10 years later, number 13 comes along, and they confess Jesus as Lord of their life, do you not think that we get to celebrate in that? We do. And so wherever you are, maybe you watch and you're part of our eFam, you watch online, I just want to challenge you. You say, I didn't get any fruity snacks, Tyler. Well, I'll find a way to get them to you if you want them. Let me know. We'll get you some fruity snacks or some harvest. But here's something that's really cool you can use. Maybe you don't have an invite card. We have this cool thing called the Vine Church app. It's got this really cool button that says share. Share it with someone. Share it with them. Let them interact with Jesus. Let them consider Jesus. And this, I don't want you to download the Vine Church app to make the vine look great. Because here's what I would say would happen. Maybe they consider Jesus for 3 months. They watch all of the messages, they interact with us online for 3 months, and they finally have the boldness and courage to go to the church down the road or the small group they see in their apartment complex, and they really consider Jesus, and they surrender their life, and they delete the Vine Church app and instead get plugged into the local church right there where they are. And you know what? I call that a win because that's what it's all about. So maybe you're watching around the world. Download that, share it with a friend, and watch and see what Jesus does. Just like this Samaritan woman, we can bring people to Jesus, but we can't make them make the decision for them. They have to make the decision themselves. But how we point to Jesus matters. So wherever we are, I just want to say today, I'm thankful that we can do this, but hey, church, open our eyes. It's ripe for the harvest. is ripe for the harvest. The world is searching. So much so they'll break in a trailer to hope that they can get satisfied. So much so that they'll think that the next political move or the next win or the next house or the next car or the next promotion or the next step up the corporate ladder is what will bring them satisfaction. And we know it won't. So why don't we point them to Him? And so right now, as I said and ask, are you satisfied? The real question is, who is Jesus to you? We shared this last week. The only way to consider Jesus is, number one, to recognize we're a sinner. This woman had to recognize she was in a sinner. And when we recognize our sin, we see our need for a Savior. In other words, we live in a world that doesn't like to be saved, does it? We like to create our own avatars, our own supernatural things, our own things that save ourselves, the best warrior out there, right? Like, we never lose. Like, as a kid, anytime I played Madden on Super Nintendo, I knew about that off button not saving the game. You know, don't lie, you know too. So you could be undefeated in a season that didn't matter. I ain't against it. I'm just saying, if it happened, it happened. You know, if you'd have that, you know what I'm saying. We will spend our life doing that, not recognizing our sin. Or maybe we do, and we recognize that we need a Savior, but we think we can do it ourselves. But you see, just like this woman who considered Jesus, and just like this entire town who considers Jesus, will you take the moment to recognize your Savior? Will you recognize you can't save yourself? Will you recognize that there's no way that we can measure up, that without Christ we are broken and destined for death because of sin? And it's just the harsh reality of it all. We can't put lipstick on a pig. We can't put perfume on the pig. We can't dance up, dress up, look up enough to hide the fact that we desperately need a Savior to save us, and we can't do it. And the thing is, when we recognize our sin and fully recognize Him as our Savior, it is when we find our satisfaction not in the things of this world, but realize that Jesus is always in season two. And His satisfaction and fulfillment will be there at every moment, if we'll just rest in it. Now, to do that, just like this woman, maybe you're in this, you're trying to reconcile the fact of, oh, all these things, these questions I have answered. Lay those down. Let go of those for a minute. I'm not going to give you a 12-step program, a self-help book to save yourself. I'm not going to give you all of these things. I'm just going to tell you how to truly consider Jesus is this. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says it this way. If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. And it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. So would you consider Jesus today? Look at this world. It won't satisfy you. It will crumble, it will fall, and it will let you down. But the one thing that won't, in every season and in every harvest, is Jesus. So we do this every week so others would consider Jesus for the first time. We're about to bow our heads and pray. And just like we talked about, it's not the words of this prayer that saves you. It's the faith that Jesus is who He says He is. So with every head bow and every eye closed, we pray as a family out loud for the benefit of those coming to faith for the first time. Please repeat this after me. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner, separated from You. I believe You came, lived the perfect sinless life I couldn't live, died the death I deserve, paying the penalty for my sins on the cross, but love me enough not to stay dead, but rose again on the third day so that I may have life. Come take over my life, Lord. Teach me to follow You step by step the rest of my life the best way I know how. And with every head bow and every eye closed, if you can say for the first time in this house or online that you have considered Jesus and have given your life to Christ, I'm going to ask you to boldly raise your hand on the count of three. One, two, three. If that's you and you can say that you've done that, if you're watching online, you're going to see a hand that's raised. Maybe you're listening throughout the week. Leave us a comment. If you're in the app right now, reach out to us. Connect with us. Shoot us an email at prayer@divine.tv, a text message, a phone call, 864-580-6669. 6-9-8. Multiple avenues for you to let us know, because here's the thing, we want to celebrate with you, but more importantly, we want to walk with you through this next step and walk with you through this decision that will bring you the only satisfaction the creator of the universe can give you. And for the rest of us, we're about to step into worship again. I just want to say really the biggest thing, and where we started was, we've never met a mere mortal. The person that takes our money at the cash register or the computer, there's somebody running it. The waitress that is helping us, the person at the gas station. What are we doing right now to show them we're satisfied in Jesus? Not a bullhorn on the side of the road, not a Jonah prophet telling everybody, like, downgrading and beating them up, but instead showing them his love. This is our chance. Would we open our eyes? Would we step into that? Would we see that the harvest is ripe? And so as we go into worship, would we truly go to Jesus and lift his name high and show that we are satisfied fully in him? Y'all stand, let's worship together.
You
All right, awesome. As I come in from a different angle, was that good? Did you have your eyes open? Were you paying attention? If you weren't, it's okay. You'll have fun with that later. Can we be thankful for that? Like, I know today it was a little bit of hardness. I know, my heart is broken. And I'll be honest with you, I see the world. I had some crazy things this week. And I would share you, we all have crazy things. I ran into a gentleman, like, his car was broke down. He had no help. And the guy who can't figure out a hood latch from a brake release was able to somehow get this man taken care of. So, like, I'm telling you, the world is searching. Just like when the Samaritan woman was there, the world was in eager anticipation, looking for the Messiah, and it still hasn't stopped. And I'm thankful that we can show He is good, He is faithful, and He is working it out, even if we can't see it fully. And so that's what we get to share with the world. We get to show the world that there's something more, there's something greater. So wherever you are this week, share that, be that, have your fruit chewies, have your harvest candy, and share the love of Jesus, and make plans to join us next week as we walk through peaks and valleys. We'll do that together. Have an awesome week, and remember, the best is still yet to come.